and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We're now studying dispensation number 2, and that is conscience. In chapter 4 of Genesis, I mentioned this last time, that we see 9 names listed. And these 9 names are in the lineage of sinful man. In other words, it's not the lineage of Christ, the godly line that leads to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and that's called his name Emmanuel. Well, we know that was speaking of Jesus Christ. We look in Matthew, and we find that the name Emmanuel means God with us. So we see that the godly line of Christ, we also see that in the book of Genesis. And in chapter 5 of the book of Genesis, we actually see 10 names that are listed in the godly line of Christ. And you're going to find the name of Seth in chapter 4 as well as in chapter 5 of Genesis. Now notice with me, if you would, Genesis chapter 4 and verses 25 and 26. Verse 25, first of all, says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel." Now, I believe that she thought, first of all, that Cain was going to be the promised seed, but it turned out that he was the bad seed. And he was the one who killed his brother Abel. And then we see how that we've just read in verse 25 that Eve she gave birth to Seth. And this would be the godly line that Jesus would come from. Well, the third son of Adam was Seth, and from him springs the seed. And the seed, of course, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ. Seth is the type of Christ risen from the dead, and in that Abel, the first, died. Seth was the second who lived. In other words, he was the second in line once again, Christ would come from that lineage. Now, Seth had a son named Enos, and the Bible says in Genesis 4:26, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." This is another indication that of the godly line of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men began to actually worship the Lord and call upon his name. True worship is only possible in the second man, and that second man, of course, the second Adam is Christ, because he was raised from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Now, we know this old body that we're in right now is going to die, but the soul does not have to die. The soul can live on with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, now, wherever Christ is and wherever we want to be in eternity. We will be with Christ, of course, and the Bible says that when we die, we give up this old body. The old body gives up the breath of life. I believe we go immediately to be with the Lord, and we're going to be with him forever. Once we get saved, a person asks Jesus into their heart, they have eternal life. They're going to live forever. And those people who do not ask Jesus into their heart, they have eternal death. Not only will their body die, but also the soul will have an eternal death, always dying but never ceasing to be. And, of course, they will be in the lake of fire, always dying but never ceasing to be. We have eternal life. We will always be alive. The real person will always be alive. Now, as in Adam, all die. That's the physical death. And Christ is the one who gives life. Once again, 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And then in 1 Corinthians 15:47, It says the first man is of the earth. That was Adam, of course, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Jesus Christ, of course, came from heaven. God the Father sent him, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And once again, that everlasting means, that word means forever. Now, I have listed in Genesis chapter 4 and 5, 10 in the godly lineage of Christ. Seth appears in both chapters. Genesis chapter 5 continues naming some in the godly lineage of Christ. And please remember this. We're still viewing the dispensation of conscience. Genesis chapter 5 and verses 1 through 32 speaks of this lineage. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 5 of Genesis, it says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him." Then in verse 2 it says, "Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created." We continue to read now in verse 3 of Genesis 5, and we see the name Seth. "And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth." Then we read in verse 6 of Genesis 5, "And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enos." Verse 9 of chapter 5 of Genesis, "And Enos lived 90 years, and begat Canaan." And in verse 12 it says, "And Canaan lived 70 years, and begat Mahalalel." And then in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 15 it says, "And Mahalalel lived 65 years, and begat Jared." Genesis 5:18. Now this, we're reading, we're hearing the names of the godly line of the Lord Jesus Christ, the lineage, in this dispensation of conscience. Genesis 5:18 says, "And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch." And verse 21 of Genesis 5, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." Now most people have heard of Methuselah. Remember, he was considered to be the oldest man who ever lived, Methuselah. And note verse 24 of Genesis chapter 5. It says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Well, I've heard it taught and preached that Enoch was so close to God, that God had so close a fellowship with Enoch that he wanted to commune with him more, so he took Enoch to be with him in heaven. And this would be one of the two people that I believe who left this earth without dying. Enoch and Elijah would be the second. Well, we're looking at the 10 people in the lineage of Christ in chapter 5 of Genesis in this dispensation of conscience. Well, notice if you would in verse 25 of Genesis 5, it says, "And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech." Genesis 5:28 says, "And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son." Verse 29 of Genesis 5, "And Lamech," once again, verse 30, verse 29 and verse 30, called his name Noah. Lamech was the father of Noah, saying, "This time, or this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Now we continue reading in verse 32. Notice this now. Now remember, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We read in verse 32, it says, "And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth." Now Shem is in the godly line, Ham and Japheth was in the ungodly line. In other words, the ungodly line of man. This is important to us because as we study the lineage of Mary, the lineage of Joseph, who was Christ's stepfather, he actually, in Jewish tradition, he would have adopted Christ. He was not his earthly father. Christ had no earthly father. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she conceived and bare a son and called his name Jesus, which means God with us. And when we look at this, we start looking and we see that in both lineages, in the lineage of Joseph and Mary, It leads back through the godly line that leads up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we keep studying, and we look in chapter 1 of Revelation. I'd like for you to turn there if you have your Bible open, and we'll read that together, these verses that I would like for us to look at now. Revelation chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Verse 8 goes on to say, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come." Notice the words, "which is." He's alive right now. He was on the earth. And of course, he gave his life for us on the cross of Calvary. He gave his life for all mankind. It's sad that all mankind will not trust him as Lord and Savior. But this verse says, he's alive now, which was. He gave his life on the cross of Calvary. But he's alive today, which is. He's alive. And which is to come, the Almighty. He's coming back. He's coming back for the church. That's us who are saved right now. He's coming back in the rapture of the church. He will say, "Come up hither." And those of us who are alive and remain at the time of his rapture, the rapture that of the church, we will be caught up together with those who have gone on before to be with the Lord, and those people who have given up the ghost, the old body, and we call it giving up the ghost, the breath of life, we'll say, and they've gone on to be with the Lord. And those of us who are alive, we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was, which is, which was, and which is to come. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, the first part of that verse, saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." Well, there's such a thing, and we've been talking about this as I've been talking just now, about the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It's needed to show that redemption was no afterthought, but it was designed from the first. Abraham and David in Matthew's gospel are singled out to prove the fulfillment in Christ of the promises made to Abraham 2,000 years and about 2,000 years ago, and to David. Well, now, the Abraham promise was made more than 2,000 years. Christ was crucified some 2,000 years ago, and Abraham would have been 1,500 to 2,000 years before that. And notice the promise was made to Abraham 2,000 years and to David 1,000 years, actually before the birth of Christ, that these promises were made to Abraham and David that Christ would be born. Now, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we keep reading in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, tell us who the Word is. And it tells us there that John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 1:14 continues by saying, "And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Well, what was beheld? What was seen in John 1:14? Well, it says, "And we beheld his glory." John 1:14, it took place on the Mount of Transfiguration. John saw the transfiguration along with others. In Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." We too, one day, will be able to see the glory of God, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in full glory, as we're with him. Once we go to heaven, once we're with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see him in all his glory. That is, those of us who have trusted him as Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.